Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Appreciate you being a part of the John Kincaid Show every single week. 4-hour editions now on your NFL Sundays. Make sure that you are listening at CBSSportsRadio.com, the Radio.com app, the CBS Sports app, SiriusXM 206. Lots of options for you if your local affiliate decides to air something different, and they are entitled to do so. They're a money-making venture. Don't give them too much grief. But if you want to send an email to the program director and ask for extra hours of the show, I'm all for you doing that. I'll deny I ever said that, of course. Carlos Medina joins us here on the John Kincaid Show. So we know the NFL season's back. It's either the NFL season or it's the NFL free agency season and capologist time, where Los makes his appearances, and he joins us now. Good morning and welcome to the NFL season, Carlos Medina.
John, happy week one. I just want you to know that I got up this morning, I prayed to the football gods for the city of Philadelphia to fall into a sinkhole. It has yet to happen, so I'm still waiting.
Well, believe me, as there are many people who don't realize, Carlos and I working together on a daily basis in Atlanta at 6A The Fan. Weeks of the Eagles Cowboys, I like to have no contact with them as much as possible. So a Cowboy fan and an Eagles fan, can we just a little offshoot of what we're going to talk about today, but can we sort of start there a little bit about the best teams right there, two teams right there. I think the Eagles and the Cowboys are going to have the best divisional race in the entire NFL. Is that off base?
No, I would certainly hope so. I mean, you are talking about the clear-cut best quarterbacks within that division reside in Philadelphia and Dallas, and that's always a big factor. You have something similar in the NFC South, where obviously there are four teams that feel like they at least are settled at quarterback, and the same thing to a certain extent in the AFC North. And so typically division races are made by quarterback. Outside of Philadelphia and Dallas, I can't wait to see what the LA Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs, based off of what they did to each other last year, do as well. And so, yeah, those are a handful that I look at and I go, okay, really interesting division races to the quarterbacks.
Well, here we are starting out a season. And I always like it because you have numbers that give people some sort of a perspective on, you know, how it thinks. And you talk about the power of regression in the NFL. And that is an interesting one to look into first.
Yeah, it's a mathematical term, and super nerds like me understand what regression to the mean means. Essentially what it is when you have a particular pop statistic where you do something that is out of the ordinary given in a particular season, typically you're going to come back to the pack. Like, for instance, you had the Carolina Panthers. When they went to the Super Bowl, they went their first 15 games of the season where whenever they had a turnover inside their own 50, their defense did not give up a touchdown. That is incredibly rare to have something like that happen. During the 2016 season, when the Falcons went to the Super Bowl, they were the only team that started the same offensive line for the entirety of the season from week one all the way through the Super Bowl. I even go to the college game, one of the craziest stats that was out there back in 2016. The Tennessee Volunteers, during their first seven games, had 21 fumbles. They got back on 19 of them. That is not something that typically happens. And so when you start talking about regression to the mean, you start looking for things that are out of the ordinary. I know that you look at a team like Kansas City and you figure they're going to take a step back. Well, I look at it and I say, okay, I don't think they're going to have 50 touchdowns from their MVP quarterback. But at the same time, year two of a starting quarterback, you tend to see some growth and you tend to see some improved play. So what I'm focusing on here is turnover differential, because a ball on the ground, a fumbled football, has a 50-50 chance for either team to jump on it. And turnover is such an important thing in this league. If you're plus one, you have a 70% chance of winning. If you're plus two, it's nearly 85%.
That's so wild.
Look at turnover margin from last year. Last year, Seattle was a plus 15. The Texans were a plus 15. The Bears were a plus 12. If you look back the previous year, the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Chargers were actually the teams that led the pack in that. You're never going to have the same teams over and over and over at the top. So if you believe the Chiefs are coming back to the pack, look more at the fact that they were a +9 on a turnover differential. And by the way, the team who was the most improved from last year, where you start saying, hey, blue skies, bright horizon, the Browns were a +7 last year. They were a -28 the year before. They were going to come back to the mean as well. Fortunately, with Baker Mayfield taking care of the football, they were a much better team and have a shot at the playoffs this year.
Carlos Medina, you can follow him, Front Office Los, on Twitter and frontofficefootball.net. Joins us here on the JK Show. Magic numbers of 26 and 28. So if you're dreaming of being a playoff team, what do 26 and 28 mean?
Scoring averages in the league. When I was first covering the NFL, there used to be this old adage of score 21, hold them to 17. Well, that went out the window when the rules changed and were implemented in 2005. And for the most part, every single monster rule change has been helpful to the offense. And so those numbers that have been traditional have kind of changed. Now they've turned into 26 and 28. If your football team wants to be right in the competition, you want to be right in there, you want to be playing in December and January in meaningful games, most of the time average about 26 points per game. That's going to give you a great opportunity. Last year, here were the teams that were averaged at least 26 points per game. The Chiefs, the Rams, the Saints, the Patriots, the Colts, the Steelers, the Chargers, the Seahawks, and the Bears. Every single one of them, with the exception of the Steelers, who missed out on the final weekend of the season, went to the playoffs. Now, 28 is almost automatic. There's been one team that we've had since 2015 that averaged 28 points per game and did make the playoffs. That was New Orleans. They were awful defensively in 2016. They averaged 29 points per game, yet went 7-9. If you average 28 points per game, the last 12 teams, 11 of them have made the playoffs. So as you go into your NFL season, as you get into September and October, look at where you're at. Now, there are teams that got in there last year that didn't average 26 points. The Ravens were a defensive team.
Eagles, right?
Eagles and the Cowboys, both of them, too, less than 26 points per game. If you're not playing a ton of defense, you better be scoring at least 26 to 28 points.
Okay, now, you are already in the winning. I already said earlier that Clemson is in the college football playoff. They've got one of the seats. So you're already telling me that the New England Patriots have a bye week? This is just as outrageous. Tell us about it.
Yeah, they've already got a bye week. Let's just write it down. Week one, the Patriots have a bye week. And part of it is obviously Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. We always talk about them. They're NFL cheat codes. The other big issue is that division for the better part of 20 years has been a mess. I've never seen an NFL division where one team fires a coach and another team within the division goes, you know what, Rex Ryan wasn't the answer there, but he's our answer. We'll do this. And the East continues to be a total mess. Here's the fun part. When you take a look at the records just from 2018 moving back 10 years, here's what the divisional records have been for the Patriots. 5-1, 5-1, 5-1, 4-2, 4-2, 4-2, 6-0, 5-1, 5-1. In 2009, they were 4-2, and then were actually 2-6 away from home. They did so well in division that it nullified the fact that they were not a good road team. Since 2009, the Patriots are 47-13 in their division. You want to know why
That's
they're in the
crazy.
Playoffs every year? Yeah. 47-13. Why are they in the playoffs every year, and why do they have a bye? Because they typically win five games in the division, and they find a way to win five or six of their last 10 games, and that's what they do every year.
You say the problem with the Raiders wasn't Antonio Brown, it was five letters. What five letters? This isn't Sesame Street. This is the John Kincaid Show.
They spell this, sacks. Sacks are one of the biggest things that you can have. When you start talking about winning games late in the season, last year we had so much offense in the league, and we were all pointing towards these great teams that were getting up and down the field. At the end of the year, the Patriots were a team that were able to nullify these offensive teams. They did it to the Chiefs. Then they went ahead and did it to the Rams. They put pressure on the quarterback. Sacks still, it's not an end-all, be-all like it was in, let's say, 2010, where it was, you know, Green Bay and Pittsburgh, number one and number two sack teams. 2007, the Giants and the Patriots, number one and number two sack teams. But the Raiders had just 13 sacks last year. So let's not pretend that Antonio Brown is their biggest problem. Their biggest problem is they don't get people on the ground. The Chiefs last year, they led the NFL, 52 sacks. The Steelers, 52. The Bears, 49. If you go back to the previous year, how important it was, the Steelers and the Jacksonville Jaguars were each tied with 56. The Rams, a playoff team, were with 48. So when you start going through and saying, okay, how good am I defensively? you can be a little bit leaky here and there, but as long as you're getting quarterbacks on the ground, you have a pretty good opportunity in December and January to be playing for big things.
Can you give me a quick thumbnail on for the national audience on the contract that Julio Jones signed? Because to me, I don't know where the Falcons found the money. So what are the ramifications down the line for what they did?
Essentially, what it looks like they did, and we'll get the full breakdown probably on Monday or Tuesday, but what it looks like they did is the Falcons cleared out just enough space to hand Julio Jones about a $30 to $34 million signing bonus and then decided with 2 years left on his deal to rip up those final 2 years and guarantee the dollar amount. Now, the Falcons are already a little bit tight against the cap. It's going to end up costing them Alex Mack at center. It's going to cost them Mo Sanu as one of their wide receivers. So they're going to be going through a little bit of an evolutionary change over the next couple of years with some of the guys they're going to plug in. But we've now reset the market essentially with Michael Thomas and with Julio Jones. These guys are going to be looking at $18 to $20 million and somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 million guaranteed.
Does it close the? Does it make the window for the Falcons 2019? I mean, to compete for, if they're going to make another run of the Super Bowl, does it sort of say to them, you better do it this year?
I always say this. If you're drafting well enough, the window stays open. They use 2 first-round picks on offensive linemen. If those guys pan out, then the window stays open. If not, then you end up on that treadmill of, I got to get into free agency. I got to figure out a way to sign somebody. I've got to fix it from there. Every single one of these teams, you can go out and sign your guys. You can give your quarterbacks $30 to $35 million. But the problem then comes down to your front office. Are you hitting your first, second, and third round picks? If you are, you'll be okay. If you're not, you're going to have problems pretty quick.
I have a feeling, and I've said it to you the other day at the office, I believe we are going to see 3 Eagles-Cowboys games this year. I don't know if it's going to be the NFC title game or if it's going to be a divisional round game, but I got a feeling we're going to see 3 Eagles-Cowboys games this year.
I say this lovingly. I don't need you in my life that much.
No, we really don't. I mean, we really don't, but it's going to happen. Los, great job. Everybody follow Front Office Los on Twitter, and he'll join us throughout the year. Thanks for your time, buddy.
See you, John. Have a good morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.